Stay hungry, stay foolish.
So now on the Innovation Show, we welcome Andrew Pinnington, CEO of Halo. Welcome to the show, Andrew.
Yeah, thanks a lot.
That's nice great. Thank you for welcoming us here in your beautiful office in Somerset House in London. Well, we'll get straight into it because before we talk about Halo and the merger with MyTaxi, it'd be great to hear about you a bit because you've had a deep career in Pepsi, in Carrefour and Warehouse, and to hear a little bit about that would be great.
Yeah, so I guess you just picked out the highlights. So I started my life at Bain, the consulting company Bain, and then went from there to the US to do an MBA. And out of that, ended up working in the US with Pepsi. Stayed over there a total of nearly 8 years. Then came back and got on the very fast-moving train that was Carrefour and Warehouse when it was still quite small. So had a dozen years there through a pretty astronomical growth curve where we used to call them Carphone years, where 1 year felt like it was 7 years worth of experience because so much change and dynamism was taking place. And then at the end of that, I basically transitioned into this role at Halo, which has been a fascinating couple of years, and that's culminated in this new merger with MyTaxi. So yeah, my role will be and title will be changing to CEO of MyTaxi shortly.
Yeah, and it's a really interesting move and one that you didn't know about when you came in, which is even more interesting for you that you've kind of overseen this. And it's a great, I personally think it's a great play. It's something that makes total sense where a car company goes into this world, because in the future of driverless cars, it makes total sense that you owned a distribution, because if that was owned by somebody else, you're in a weaker position. Can we talk about that a little bit?
And yeah, how you of see course. It? I mean, I think there are two rationales behind the deal, one which is very specific to the two companies concerned, so the two operating entities, and one which is you referred to there as a more strategic one, which is the sort of the auto manufacturer interest in the business. So maybe if I just take each of those in turn. I mean, for the two operating entities, Halo and MyTaxi, both operating in the same space, in a very similar way with the licensed taxi market, so e-hailing within the licensed taxi market, but we had very, very complementary geographies. And Halo is effectively in UK, Ireland, and Spain, and MyTaxi exists in five other markets in addition to Spain. Spain was only our only overlap. And so by putting the two businesses together, there's great financial synergies, but also just geographic synergies that mean that we are now, we just opened another market, so we're in a total of nine EU markets that instantly make us the number one player in the space. So for the two companies, there was a lot of good rationale behind it. But the new organization will be owned 60% by Daimler and 40% by the Halo shareholders. And I think there's been a lot of interest in the auto manufacturers' investment in this space. So GM have invested in Lyft over in North America. VW have invested in Gett, and they're based in four or five different locations around the world. And various other manufacturers, Toyota have got a small investment in Uber and so on and so forth. Apple, who I think everyone knows is interested in the auto space, have put a lot of money into Uber as well. So into Didi, I beg your pardon, which is a Chinese player. So a lot of interest from the auto manufacturers, and I think the driving rationale, as you touched on there for them, is that they're looking at the future of urban mobility and how people are going to move around cities in the future. And lots and lots of trends are pointing towards the fact that individual car ownership is declining, and particularly amongst younger generations. And they're looking in 10, 15 years' time with the onset of autonomous vehicles, a scenario where the person who owns the demand for that on-demand transportation will be in a very powerful position. And there was a world building up where people who could potentially own that demand, whether it was a MyTaxi, a Halo, an Uber, or whoever, would be able to go and disintermediate in a way the car manufacturer between them and the end user. And that could put them into a place of being a commodity manufacturer, mass manufacturer for somebody else, and they'd lose that connection with the end user, they'd lose the visibility of their brand in the market, and so on and so forth. So fundamental threat to their business model, and so that's why you're seeing a lot of them take an active interest in this space.
Yeah, because it reminds me kind of, say, what's happened with iTunes, where iTunes and the music market, that Steve Jobs with his master play came in and said, you know what, you're not really making anything from digital music, piracy's a mess, we're going to clean that up for you, and we're going to become that intermediary, and by the way, you're going to pay us a commission. What that did for them was they lost the touch point with their end user, and they lost the relationship with that user. And in today's business world, the brand needs to have that touch point and needs to mean something to that public. And yep. That's why this play makes absolute sense. And I think it's a master play.
Yeah, it's that's a good analogy. One of the car manufacturers' executives has said to me in the past, said, okay, well, think about other forms of transport. Think about planes or trains. When was the last time you went on a plane and train and thought who manufactured that plane or train? Occasionally, plane geeks might think about, well, it's a Boeing or it's an Airbus, but fundamentally, you think about the brand that's on the exterior of the piece of transport. So, they look at it and say that could be our future, and that's not a great place for them to be as a commoditized manufacturer. So they're taking steps to mitigate that.
And then it becomes about your brand experience thereafter and all the work that comes throughout that. And it probably takes away the element, I suppose, that you, in the early days, you certainly would have dealt with, and certainly competitors would have dealt with regulation. It probably takes that out off the table a little bit?
No, I mean, that's a very real factor in our business, and I think will continue to be, especially in the European sphere. So there are some markets which are much looser regulatory environment than it is the case in Europe. And even in Europe, we've got huge divergence, not just on a national level, but on a city-by-city level as well. So, and there's reasons why we have regulations, and, over time, different cities decide different things about how they want the city to operate. Do they want fully accessible vehicles? Do they want to manage congestion? Do they want to have a high level of safety and security in what is a part of the public transport infrastructure? So there's lots of questions that city authorities are now effectively having to face all over again as this new model comes in and decide where's the right place to draw that line. And we're seeing cities like London who've taken one route, and other cities that have taken a much more hard-nosed route, and so we're almost seeing like experiments played out in front of us, which is interesting. But I think that will remain a very key part of this industry's development for quite a long time, especially in the European space.
Yeah, and it's interesting because it puts Halo or My Taxi, should I say, in a much stronger position in Europe, because I find certainly that a lot of US companies treat Europe like it's a country. While it's so fragmented, it has all the language fragmentation, and Halo will now, through the merger with My Taxi, actually has, you can actually act local and be global in the same way, because you have that understanding and you've built it organically, and it's not just suddenly bought in, or it's trying to put a new culture on from a US or China or whatever. That's a huge advantage.
Yeah, and I think you absolutely hit the nail on the head with that. And if you look at who our longer term competitors are going to be, they are some they're very well run, very well capitalized, very savvy businesses that are coming into our market. And if we went just toe to toe with them and just say, right, we're going to be a European company that is one size fits all across Europe, and we're going to deal with Barcelona the same way as we deal with Dublin, the same way as we deal with London, we'd lose pretty quickly, because all of the other elements would then come into play where we're not necessarily going to be able to compete with an Uber that has 10 billion of cash sitting on its balance sheet. So what we've got to do is rather like the scenario in China where Didi and Uber fought toe to toe, and ultimately Didi won because it understood the environment a little bit better and had some certain environmental advantages. And that's very much the approach that we've got to take, is adapting a centralized model that's efficient, but with enough flexibility that it feels adapted to the local environment.
Yeah, and you can see the huge amount of work that is for you, coming in as CEO, to you know, meet all those different markets, because they all need to be treated differently. The cultures in those different countries all need to be treated differently. So that's it's a big task ahead, and we wish you the very best with that.
Well, thanks. Yeah, I mean, you know, your own home market in Dublin, I think, is a good example of the sort of model that we really want to employ, where we give the local team quite a lot of flexibility. I mean, they've obviously got the core tools of the technology and the capability, but there's a little bit of adaptation of the product. But then quite a lot of flexibility in the local marketing tone of voice approach to that environment, so that, you know, hopefully, you know, you would back up the thought that it feels more homegrown than it is something that's run centrally. And that's really the model that we've got to now employ around about 50 cities rather than, you know, a handful.
Yeah, and then it, just from an operational perspective, I mean, it means you've merged, you've overlapped teams now, so it means actually economies of scope and scale. But stuff like your mapping, work like that's so key to the future. Working like that, and I suppose strengthening the teams by putting them together, means that you can look at other business opportunities and other business models to use your distribution pipeline more effectively as well.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we've got quite a lot of work ahead of us in the next few months, just to collapse the two businesses together and take advantages of those synergies and put the two teams together and get the best of both worlds and all the usual things that you'd look to do as you pull two businesses together. Once we're through that, I think you know, we've got a really powerful platform to work from that has lots of opportunity that is perhaps not fully explored at the moment. You know, we're very much just very focused on our core business, but I think there are plenty of other opportunities we can exploit. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, it's a fascinating journey so far, and we wish you the very best with it in the future, Andrew Pennington, CEO of Halo. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks, Ed.